I don't know what the future holds, but I'm telling you, it is looking phenomenal. And the Spirit, the way the Spirit of God is moving and touching and blessing, it's not a time to grow sour, not a time to get empty, not a time to grow cold. It's a time to be on fire like we've never been on fire before for the glory of God. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And at any time I say something phenomenal like that, you can run up here and give me high five. I'll take it. Praise the Lord. Just kidding. Why don't we stand and let's just go to the word of the Lord, and we'll let you out early so you can fellowship with somebody and buy a guest or a visitor a good hamburger or something, a cup of coffee. But I had recently scheduled this to preach a couple weeks ago, and it just has not happened. But tonight is the night that it needs to happen, and so just because I feel it is all. And so we're going to talk about it. I don't want to pump it up to the point that you feel like that it's going to be the most phenomenal, because I don't know about the most phenomenal preaching, but it's not all about that. But it is about timing. It is about precision. It is about the will of God, the Spirit of God, and all that wonderful stuff. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Very familiar portion of Scripture. Wonderful place to go in the Word of God when you don't have anywhere else to go in the Word of God. Amen. Or if you do, make this a priority as well. Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, in other words, when it had come to its crescendo, when it finally got to where God wanted it to be, all the way from the tabernacle plan, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I would like for us to look toward heaven and say, Lord, fulfill that. Amen. Because those days of Pentecost will not take place until we're together in one mind and one accord. Praise the Lord. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Amen. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Spirit of God gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. Here's what we want to talk about this evening. Let's talk about a blast from the past and a blueprint for the future. A blast from the past and a blueprint for the future. This morning I preached to the crowd, but tonight I wish to preach to the church. Amen. The message has not changed. The messenger has not changed. He is the same today as he was yesterday, and he'll be the same tomorrow. Amen. That is our God. Amen. So there's a pattern. There is a blueprint. And sometimes in order to get back to that, we need to go back to the past. Amen. Walk with me tonight. Pray with me right now if you would. Jesus, we ask you, Lord, once again, knowing that your ears never grow weary of the petitions of your people, that, Lord, you bend an ear every time the saints of God pray. And I'm asking you, Lord, to hear us tonight when we say we need you. All of us need you. And we need you desperately, mightily, and powerfully to move upon us, Lord, in a great, wonderful, powerful way. Let us walk with you. And, Lord, we plead the blood that you would walk with us. Let us speak to you, and we plead the blood that you would speak to us. Let the word of God sink indelibly into our hearts, our mind, our souls, and our spirits. In the name of Jesus. And somebody shout amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for being here tonight. On the day of Pentecost, the church received power. It received authority to evangelize the world. When the 120 came down from the upper room, they came down in the dynamics of the Holy Ghost. They were endowed with power from on high. It sparked a phenomenon issuing forth in great joy. Spiritual ecstasy and miracle-working power. It resulted in conviction of sin. It resulted in total repentance. It resulted in absolute faith toward Jesus Christ. Amen. After that day, for a long time afterward, the Lord could ask whatsoever He will, and the people gave Him whatsoever He asked. There was no cutoff points. There were no places that people told the Lord where to get off. Amen. It was simply, not my will, but thy will be done, because those words were still fresh on their mind and in their ears. Repeated to them firsthand by the apostles that followed Jesus Christ. We heard Him. He said it. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. And He said, they were preaching, if He said it, we can say it. It's changed through and went through and passed through a lot of hands since that time. Some 2,000 years have passed. But yet, there are still those that will stand firm and say, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. All of them received the power of the Holy Ghost. All of them spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave the evidence. And just as important, they all received the power to witness. Does not my Bible say that you shall know them by their fruits? Hallelujah. You have the seed. We cannot see the seed. But we will see the fruits of what kind of seed that you pack. What kind of seed are we packing? What's germinating in the silence? What are we preparing to impact? What are we preparing to change? What are we preparing to bring positive things to? Wonderful things to? What are we excited about bringing positive, unmentionable? We're so excited about it that we want to tell people, but we just can't. Because this is between me and God. We're sowing seed. We're fasting. We're praying. We're witnessing. We're teaching Bible study, right? Or are we just sitting here reaping, 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 getting, blessing, blessing, blessing? Hey, listen, amen. If we have the right seed and it goes into the right soil, if it's germinated properly, amen. Hallelujah. If we go forth weeping, we're going to bring back, after we have sown good seed, and we will bring our sheaves to the house of God. I want us to understand that we're going to sow some kind of seed, and it's our choice as to what type of seed we're going to sow. Amen. All of them received the power of the Holy Ghost, just as we have. All of them spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave evidence, just as we have. And just as important, they all received the power to witness, just as we have. Now, what are all of us going to do with what God has given all of us? The real power of the church is not found in modern buildings or unique methods of preaching and teaching. It's not found in great wealth or how that wealth is used. And thirdly, finally, it is not found in the church's prominence or popularity. Amen. We learned that from the Laodicean church. It was the first bragging congregation, but it was not to be the last. They said, we're rich. God said, you're poor. They said, we are wealthy. God said, you're wretched. They said, we do not need anything. God said, they needed everything. They said, we're busy in the church. God said, they were miserable. They said, we have a vision. God said, you are blind. Can I go on? They said, we're clothed in fine garments. God said, they were naked. They said, we are satisfied. God said, they made him sick. I will spew you out of my mouth. On the contrary, You can always recognize a Holy Ghost empowered church because the evidence is obvious. They have the power, number one, to evangelize. They share their faith with the lost and souls are born again. Somebody say amen. Whether you want to or not, say amen. Evangelism is the only way to make full proof of your ministry. When a church is not involved in souls and winning them, it grieves the Holy Ghost and it is void of power. Number two, they reproduce. A revival church reproduces. Souls are born into the family of God by the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God that was sown by someone properly. Holy Ghost filled believers sow the seed. This is evangelism in its greatest sense. The Holy Ghost hovers over the seed, convicting, converting, and leading the lost to repentance. This is the beginning of the stages of spiritual new birth. Amen. That's found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 33. Hallelujah. Amen. Number three, it changes people. Amen. It changes places. Amen. We're not people of God until the Word of God changes us. There's no shortcuts. Amen. We are not the people of God until the Word of God changes us. Amen. And so it changes us. It changes places. Amen. Those places we used to love to go, we don't go anymore. Those things in the world we used to do, we don't do them anymore. Those behaviors we had, those attitudes we had, those spirits that were on us, in us, and around us, we do not accommodate them anymore. We've been changed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been set free by the Spirit of God. We've been anointed of the Holy Ghost to sow holy seed. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so people are changed. Places are changed. And then things are changed. Hallelujah. Amen. Number four, a revival church, a growing church, turns the world upside down. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 6. Amen. This is the power that filled the upper room on the day of Pentecost. That same power is still the Holy Ghost in the church of the living God today. We hold the power and we hold the authority and we hold the dominion to let Him bring forth. Amen. When they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also." Hallelujah. Amen. I'm here to turn the world upside down. I'm here to turn my city upside down. Can I get some help? Can I get some backup? Can I get some strong arms? Can I get some spirit? Can I get some anointing? Can I get some passion? Can I get somebody to believe that with me? Amen. Those that have turned the world upside down have come to Lexington, North Carolina also. Woo, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's okay. Amen. We got about 10 or 15 standing up tonight. Amen. And that's perfectly fine with me. If we can reach 8,000 people in the short amount of time that we have in the prison ministry with only 10 people involved. Hey y'all, how many can we reach with people that are with me tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not here to convince you to be with me. You don't want to be with me. That's your business. Amen. But somebody's going to join the team and somebody's going to make up their mind and somebody's going to realize I can do this. In order to be burdened for it, in order to have a passion for it, we got to be revived for it. And if we're going to be revived, we must be revisited. And the only way we're going to be revisited is to obtain a blast from the past. If they'd done it on the day of Pentecost, we can have Pentecost every Sunday. If they'd done it at the beginning, we can do it, the people of God that are at the end. We've got more equipment than they had. We've got more ability than they had. We've got technology. They didn't even have that. We've got everything we need, hallelujah, to reach our world. Hello? Amen. There's not a gossip in our church, so I can get by with this. Amen. Rather than get on the phone and gossip, why don't you get on the phone and find somebody in Germany that hasn't had the Holy Ghost or received the Holy Ghost. You could do that in 3 minutes. Amen. We can't fly to China now. Oh, no. But I can call. Hello? Technology has made it to where we will stand before our God and will not have a reason for not reaching our world and for not reaching our city and for not turning our jobs upside down, for not turning our places of business upside down, for not turning our school systems upside down. We are without reason. We are without excuse. This thing must be done because it can be done. Am I right? And somebody shouted, one at a time. Amen. That's all I'm asking. One at a time. Now, who's your one? Have you got their name? Could I get you to come up here right now and just real quickly write their number down? Write their address? Their birthday? Hello? What church they go to? What influence religiously they are? Our game plan on how to win them? How we're going to get this done? What we're going to do? Or are we thinking about, how can I shine somewhere? How can I be better at what I'm doing? How can I become this? How can I become that? Hey, understand this. The devil has made it his big business to distract every one of us from the mission that is ahead of us. And our mission is to grow a church for the glory of God, that there will be not one empty seat when the rapture takes place. If our president can hold a caucus in Iowa, amen, to announce his running for president again, and there not be room in the building for all the people, and thousands of them are standing on the outside, and they don't even get to talk to him. They don't even get to shake his hand. They didn't even get to firsthand hear the speech. Hello? If they can be excited about that, if we can be excited about anything, why can't we be excited about what we have been commissioned to do? Thank you. Thank you, my fellow Americans. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's all kinds of dirty in this world. Am I right? There's all kinds of filthy in this world. Amen. I got an email from another pastor inviting me to some kind of a meeting they're getting ready to have. And all they wanted to talk about was warfare. All they wanted to talk about was how the devil's going to come against us this year. But we're greater than the devil. And the devil's going to do this. And the devil, hey, why don't you just take and put the devil where he belongs? And let's start talking about what we are going to do. I know what the devil wants to do, but I don't know what you want to do. It would be good to let the Lord know what we are going to do. I know what the Holy Ghost can do, but I want to know what we're going to do. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel the Spirit of God right now. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't care how much I preach against him, as long as I don't preach for Jesus Christ. The devil don't care how much we preach about how he's going to wind up in hell with all of his demons. He could care less about that. There's no hope about that in his heart. Hallelujah. That's going to happen. But he does not want me to preach about how there's hope for those that are lost, how there's help for those that need the Holy Ghost, how there's hope for our family, how there's hope for our children, how there's... Would it make you happier if I talked about how we're going to run the devil out of town? You're not going to run the devil out of town, hallelujah. But what we're going to do is we're going to pray the Holy Ghost in town. We're going to pray the power of God in town. And we're going to make this town the devil's worst nightmare. Man, I could run a mile right now if I didn't have to walk back. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall wear a crown. It shall not be a crown of physical attire, but it shall be a crown of absolute rejoicing as you have never heard nor beheld in all of apostolic grandeur. It will be the soul winner's crown, given to those that gave to those that could not give to themselves. The greatest work we are privileged to do is to bring others to the knowledge and the truth of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you a couple scriptures here. I hope I wrote them down. Amen. But number one, it is wise to win souls to Jesus. Proverbs 11 and 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he, amen, that winneth souls is... Number two, it is wise to work against sin. The greatest battle you could wage against the enemy is to win souls to Jesus Christ. James 5 and 20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Now listen to your benefits. And shall hide a multitude of sins. The Lord said, I'll take care of theirs and I'll take care of yours too. Hello? Amen. Praise the Lord. It is wise to be the cause of some of the greatest joy, some of the greatest thrill and excitement that comes to heaven when we win souls to Jesus Christ, Luke 15 and 10. Likewise, I say unto you, somebody shout, Lord, say it to me. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Amen. Hey, I would to God that somebody would feel like as I feel tonight, convicted to the core of the bones. Amen. To bring somebody to the house of God that they can rejoice, that I can hear in the spirit all of those angels rejoicing over what I have done. I'd rather hear all the angels rejoice over one sinner that has come to God than to get all the accolades the world can offer me. Amen. Every soul winner, number four, every soul winner will shine as the stars in the heavens forever. And we find that in Daniel. Praise the Lord. Listen, I'm just telling you. You want to hear it? Listen. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. You say, well, how do I be wise? I just told you from the word of God, you're going to be a soul winner. He that wins souls is, okay. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness. This is a scripture, Brother Billy, that we obtained in the Old Testament and has held on all the way to the new. That's how serious God is about it. Amen. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever. Do you know what God is saying to me? He's saying that, hey, I might be what makes it heaven for y'all. But you guys are going to be what makes it heaven for me. And I want as many up here as we can possibly get because I want you to shine like the stars in heaven. You may ask, how do we go about winning souls? Amen. I'd be pleased to answer that for you. Amen. You witness with your life. Live that others may see Jesus Christ in you. Everybody needs to see Jesus in you. Witness with your mouth. Trusting that the Holy Ghost will give you the power of the spoken word that you have implanted by much study and reading and discipline. Witness by your giving, your tithing, your offering, your sacrifice, that more may be sent forth to preach, to teach, and reach with this great gospel. I'm promising you tonight, amen, that will abound to your heavenly account. Hallelujah. Amen. There's Bible study, there's discipleship, there's friendship, and there's mentoring. And if you're going to make friends with somebody, do your best, if you're clinging, not to make best friends. Let everybody be your best friend. And you'll benefit from that. Because you're not in this to make best friends. You're in this to make saints of God. Amen. So get you a Bible study. Get some discipleship about you. And get some friendship and mentoring. Amen. God has promised that our labor will not be in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. And we also have the promise that the soul winner will not rejoice alone. What is heaven if I can't take somebody with me and say, I told you. I told you. Amen. And Brother Cody, you're going to look at me and say, but you didn't tell me about that part. And I'm going to look back and say, I didn't know about that part. We'll walk along there for 1,000 years or so, and you'll get tired of pastoring and go walk with somebody else. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? What is heaven if I can't look at somebody and say, didn't I tell you? Didn't I show you? Didn't you feel it? Aren't you glad I witnessed? Aren't you glad I spent the time with you? Amen. And then somebody's going to walk up and say to you, didn't I tell you? Didn't I show you? Didn't I share it with you? Isn't it everything and more that I told you it was going to be? It's only fair that when it's been brought to us, that we take it to someone else. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We also have the promise that the soul winner will not rejoice alone. All of heaven will rejoice with us when we receive the crown of rejoicing. What a day, the song says. What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. When we look upon His face, the one who saved us by His grace. We shall rejoice with all the other hard-working, laboring saints of God. And we will make Him, and we will make heaven our home. Let's stand. We will see to it that heaven is full of those that we have won through soul winning. For the glory and for the majesty of Almighty God. We are privileged and honored and deeply blessed to know this truth. We will carry it like a torch, and we will be their light in their darkest night, because we know and we cannot hide it. We know and we have no reason not to be. We have no excuse not to be. We know. We've been told. The Spirit of the Lord has moved on us in that wise. Amen. It may be a little comical, but I'm going to ask you something. How many of you have ever seen somebody play air guitar? Everybody wants to play guitar, but nobody wants to discipline themselves to learn. Not many, that is. A lot of people have. Cody, I can sit for hours and listen to him play the guitar. He could sit for 2 minutes and hear everything I know how to play. But how many of you have ever seen somebody play air guitar? I want somebody to play air guitar with me. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about now? Here's what I'm talking about. I want you to reach over and take that individual by the hand that you have not brought yet. And I want you to bring them to the altar. And when you get here with them, I want you to ask them, didn't I tell you it felt this good? Didn't I tell you there's peace that passes understanding? Didn't I tell you the Lord wants to work out everything in your life? Didn't I show you? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it mighty? Isn't it powerful? Amen. Somebody wants to come. You're waiting on somebody else and they're waiting on you. Let's get this done. Let's do this. Bring them with you. Bring them with you. It might look like air to everyone else, but I know what it looks like to the Lord. It looks just like a faith statement. It looks just like a faith statement that you're speaking by faith and that you're believing God that someone in the near future will be standing beside you and you or me or someone around us tonight is going to pray them through to the experience of the Holy Ghost when it would not have happened had you not brought them here tonight by faith. They are here.
Give myself away.
I see a massive crowd. I see a massive crowd.
Give myself away.
I see a lot of people.
Can you?
Oh, hallelujah.
Give myself away.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I give myself away.
Come on, submit. Surrender. It's simple. A child can do it. That's why the Bible says a child shall lead them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I give myself
hallelujah
away.
Hallelujah.
So
oh, yes. Yes.
Me.
Yes.
I give myself away. I give myself away.
My Lord.
So
my Lord. My Lord.
I give myself away.
Take me back, Lord. Back.
I give myself away.
Take me back so I can move forward. In the name of Jesus.
Away.
Yes, yes, yes.
I give myself away.
See them?
So
do you see them? I see them. I see them repenting. Amen. What would you do? What would I do? We bring somebody and they receive the Holy Ghost and they go nuts for Jesus. I know what we would do. We would leave the service like, there is nothing as satisfying and gratifying as knowing someone came to the Lord because of your witness, your care, your burden, your passion, your discipline. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Not to get in their business, but to put them in God's business and letting them sort that all out. Right? Let's do this thing, Landmark. Let's have the greatest revival we've ever had. Let's have the greatest moves of God that we've ever had. Let's let the anointing break the yoke for everybody. Amen. So that we can all, as in the upper room, receive everything as in the upper room that the Lord has for everybody. And somebody say in Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for being in church tonight. Amen.